And just bless every family on the sound of my voice. Lord God, we need you tonight to wrap your arms around us too. We need you tonight, Lord God, to work out your will. We need you tonight to give us rest. Lord God, give us peace, give us joy. We need you tonight in the name of Jesus. Speak through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Come on now. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to thank God for all of you and for being here. Truly, God is an awesome God. And thank you for your prayers, and thank you, amen, for being here tonight. Truly, we continue to look to the hills from whence cometh our help. And the Bible says our help cometh from the Lord. Amen. Who made heaven and earth. And that's an interesting connection. The God of creation is our comfort. Amen. And he comforts us so that we will be in a position to comfort each other with the same comfort, 2 Corinthians 1, that he has comforted us with. Typically, what these scriptures are implying is that whatever God does in your life is not for you. Whatever he does in your life is for you to pass it on to somebody else. Can I get a witness? And when we start thinking in those terms, everything does not stop at you. You become a vehicle, amen, for victory for someone else. And we're just pleased again that we trust him by faith day by day. Amen. And the Bible gives us the encouragement of the future. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Can I get a witness? Amen. And so we must continuously, steadfastly look to the hills from whence cometh our help. Look to Jesus and trust him and not always try to figure everything out. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we want to just remind everybody of those exhortations from the Word of God. Now, tonight, I'm going to start a mini-series here in CORE called Disclosure. Disclosure. And one of the things that we're going to be studying throughout the Word is how and when God decided and when he decides to disclose things to us. Amen. That we're going to be looking at this because God has got to bring about disclosure of his will, his wisdom, and then self-disclosure, amen, of our lives. And so when we begin to look at this loving, all-knowing, all-powerful God, then we are better equipped to accept the things we cannot change. And there are some things in that Serenity Prayer. There are things in that Serenity Prayer that stand true. Lord, give me, amen. give me the serenity. Give me peace. That's what the word serenity means. Give me peace to accept the things I cannot change. And sometimes we hit these hurdles, and it's hard for us to accept certain things. And it's just a prayer that we have to keep praying. Help me to accept these things I cannot change, and then give me the courage and the power to change what I can, and then give me the wisdom to know the difference. That is one of the most profound prayers that anyone has penned. Tonight, we're going deep. We're going deep. I'm going to do a biographical sketch of the Apostle Peter. And we hope to illuminate some of your thinking and get some answers for your own life and what God continuously does. I'm in Acts chapter 10, and let me attempt to define the book of Acts. One of the things we got to stop doing is just grabbing that scripture with no context, no sense of grammatics, no sense of historicity, no sense of literal interpretation, and all we do is just grab something from the Bible and try to hold on to it. One of the things that the book of Acts is the acts of the Holy Spirit through the apostles is when the Holy Spirit start taking over, and the book of Acts is not a doctrinal book. First John deals with apostasy and how do we know we're in the family of God. Second John, Third John, Revelation deals with the revealing of Jesus Christ as Lord. The book of Ephesians deals with enlightenment, to God's wisdom, his work, his words, his warmth and warfare. And when Philippians deals with the sense of the mind, the single mind, submissive mind, secure mind, a spiritual mind, it deals with the mind. So when we get into the book of Acts, it is not a doctrinal book. It is an historical book. It's the historicity of the church and what happened. And the easiest way to define the book of Acts is that it's about two people, Peter and Paul. Peter and Paul. If you ever go into the Acts, part of it is about Peter. Probably the first 10 chapters is about Peter, first 8 chapters, and then the rest is about Paul. His 3 missionary journeys, his coming before King Agrippa, his coming before Rome. So one of the things that we want to grasp is that in chapter 1 of Acts, historically, we're still under law. Jesus is on his Mercedes cloud. He's getting ready to go back to heaven. He's walked the earth 40 days, and he's getting ready to go back. He tells them to go in Jerusalem and wait, and we know they had to wait 10 days for the Holy Spirit hit at Pentecost, because the word Pentecost, we got a pentagon. That's a 5-sided building. Pentecoste is 10. Penta is 5. 5 times 10 is 50. 50 days after Passover, 50 days after Jesus was crucified, comes the Jewish holiday of Pentecost. So Jesus, in chapter 1 of Acts, was with him 40 days, walking the earth, doing signs and miracles to authenticate who he was post-resurrection. And when he told them to go and wait, they had to wait 10 days. He left on his cloud, and 2 angels appeared to the disciples and apostles and said, "Why are you standing here gazing? This same Jesus is coming back in like manner." And then chapter 2 takes place in upper room, 120 of them in upper room, and the Holy Spirit hits. Holy Spirit hits not because they was on one accord, because it was time for the Holy Spirit hit. It was 50 days after Passover, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues. That word tongue is glossolalia, which means different languages. The miracle of Pentecost was that it was a Jewish holiday in which all Jews from around the world had to come to Jerusalem. And the miracle was every Jew from around the world heard the gospel in their own language, spoken fluently by unlearned Galileans. That's the miracle. They were fishermen. They had never gone to school. And yet they could speak fluent Spanish, fluent Russian, fluent German, whatever it was. And everybody rejoiced. And then the Holy Spirit went inside of them. For the first time, it indwelt each believer. And when you look at chapter 2, that's the context of Pentecost. And then chapter 3, Peter starts preaching. Peter starts preaching. No talk in the back. I'm teaching. Peter starts preaching. And as he's preaching, he starts healing. a lame person, him and John, and when you look at chapter 4, chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira is killed by God because they decided to secretly steal from the Holy Ghost, and they were saved people. So God was sending a strong message Acts chapter 5. And then Acts chapter 6, the apostles came to the servants, not necessarily deacons, but servants. One of them was Philip, and seven of them, and said, "You guys wait on these tables so that we can give ourselves to prayer and the word." And as Acts goes on, God sovereignly allows persecution to come to get them spread out, to get them separated from Jerusalem, because in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "I want you to start in Jerusalem and move out to Samaria, the half-breeds, the proselytes, and then Judea, and then the uttermost parts of the world." Sometimes we get stuck in gear, and God's got to send persecution to move us. I'm doing this for a reason, because this gospel of pleasantry, this gospel of prosperity, this gospel of entertainment has ruined the church. To the point that we don't think God will move us. We don't think God will kill us. We don't think God will allow things that hurt. And he will. Because his will is paramount. And so the whole thing is, I know if I go back in the world tonight and do what I used to do, I'm going to catch AIDS in one day. And you know why I know that? Because I got to jump over too much light to go back to darkness. Are y'all here with me tonight? I got to jump too many hurdles to go back to a lifestyle that God has already warned me about. Are y'all getting this? And I'm not talking about falling and making mistakes. I'm talking about an habitualness of sin. People that habitually sin are not saved. 1 John chapter 3. So one of the things we got to do is let the Bible be the Bible and stop believing all these lying preachers and bishops and all of them, because half them ain't saved. And I'm sick of it. And I'm trying not to call names, but if I need to, I will. So the bottom line is that this thing in Acts chapter 10, when we get to Acts chapter 9, of course, Saul, small one, is Paul the apostle. He's getting letters to go to Damascus and lock up and, if necessary, kill Christians. He is a Pharisee. He's a lawyer. He's a Hebrew of Hebrews. And Saul was feared. The church feared Saul. So he's going, trying to get letters at Damascus to do what the damage he's going to do to the church, because he believes that the church is heresy. And so on his way to Damascus, it was noontime, and a light brighter than the sun shone to Paul, and men that were with him heard a voice, but they couldn't discern what was being said. And the light was Jesus, and he said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus." And then Jesus gave him a dose of what he was getting ready to deal with. And what he told Saul in chapter 9 was, "It's hard for you to kick against the goads, the pricks." That is a great illustration. It's hard for you to keep it's hard for you and me to keep messing with God. It's hard. That the illustration was a chariot driver would be behind a metal partition with a whip beating on the horse to go faster. And every now and then the horse, out of anger, would kick back at the rider. But he was only kicking a metal partition, hurting himself. And when we live or do outside of the will of God, we're only hurting ourselves. So Paul got knocked down the Massive Road and was blinded. Scales was on his eyes, and God told him to go into the town, the street called Straight, look for one Ananias. You gotta appreciate Ananias. I love Ananias. Jesus comes to Ananias and said, one Saul is gonna search for you, and he is one of my chosen. And Ananias said, Lord, what's up? How can you save this man with all the evil that he has done? Ananias is actually going back and forth with Jesus. And finally, so Saul gets converted to chapter 9. We get to chapter 10. And again, this is going to be a mini-series. You need to listen on disclosure. I'm going on 31 years here. God has disclosed to me things about myself that aren't pretty. That I, you know, and you don't even look at me hard. Disclose stuff about you too. We find out that everything is not as great as we think it is. That I keep going back in my mind. I'm flabbergasted. I know the word. I try to live right. I try to do right. I have the votes, try to pray right. I, you know, try to conquer the impulses of my flesh, to try to do what's pleasing God's side, try to be faithful, try to tithe, try to work hard and treat people with dignity and respect, love them, da-da-da-da. But there are some things in my life that only the Spirit of God knows about. And what tends to happen is under heat, when things get hot, I can revert back to the flesh. We all do. God forbid somebody smack you in the face, you do not sit there and say, praise the Lord. What happens is that the Lord has done a disclosure in my life to the point that I have become baffled. I've become baffled. I don't know, and I'll be sharing more and more, but it's just God bringing me into contact with what's really in me. Are y'all getting this? So I had to go to hospital like 3 or 4 years ago, overnight. Told Sister G, don't tell nobody. I'm sitting there, and it's supposed to be outpatient surgery, and one thing led to another, and they wanted to keep me overnight. And when I came out of my anesthesia, I was at Jefferson, and so they said, we're going to put you in a room just to monitor you. I said, okay, you know. And it was no pain or anything involved. Anyway, they said, just press this button for the nurse. And I'm there at night, and I got thirsty. I'm pressing the button, pressing the button, pressing the button. Nobody came. And so these two nurses walked in, and they said, you keep pressing that button. I said, well, you need to work. What is your problem? I've been pressing for minutes, you know. So she, well, you know, we got a lot of pain. I said, well, you know, yeah. And I said, now, wait a minute. I have left the commandments of God, and I'm back on the streets. You understand? But it's under heat. It's under pressure. And so my point is, God has disclosed things to me that even in the context of 30-something years of marriage, when me and Sister G go back and forth, there are all kind of historical things coming up, you know, in the midst. And because I got a lovely wife, I start backing down. Nah, I ain't going to do that to her. Nah, because I know me. I know me. I'll cuss you out in a heartbeat. You know, I will. Just when I get frustrated, da-da-da-da-da-da. I was at a bookstore 29 years ago in a, down in Glassboro, and I'm looking at biblical books, and this deacon came in. I ain't know him from Christ, and he said, are you the pastor down there in Williamstown? I said, yes, I am. Well, I got something to tell you. I said, you got 3 seconds to get out of my face. Three. And I'm on two right now. I don't play that. And it was like, where's this stuff coming from? Are y'all understand what I'm trying to say? You know, I just had prayer. I just called on the name of Jesus. I just gave God a wave offering. And I'm going to punch this boy in his mouth. Where is this? And it's like I struggle with things in my life that it took years for the Holy Spirit to put his hand on it and say, listen, you got historical problems that I'm going to heal. Are y'all getting this? Yeah. And you got problems from the world that I cannot use in this economy. So I got to deal with it. Anger, sex, expectations. You know what I mean? Da-da-da-da-da-da. I went through, and I mean, I would sit down and cry. What is it? What is it? Where is this stuff coming from? And if you talk to the average Christian, they just say, you ain't spiritual. Until we talk about them. No, and we handle situations differently. Nobody here loves the Lord more than I do. Trust me. I'm committed to ending this thing the way I began. And the whole thing is, life gets hard. Life gets hard. I lost my mother, my father, my two brothers. You didn't hear me say nothing from the pulpit. I internalized a lot of grief because the first thing was I was angry with God. Why you take them? They saved. They deacons. You got all these devils running around here in the White House and outhouse, black house. You ain't touching them. So God, I got a problem with your judgment. And then I come in here and preach after I argue with God. So don't we struggle within? Don't we struggle within? Don't we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, we'll understand it better by and by. By and by is as we're going on, as we're growing in Christ. You know, as we're growing in Christ, we start to understand things about ourselves because God makes sure that you and I get the message. That's disclosure. That's disclosure. I had a lieutenant from Mississippi. He was like a redneck. He came up to me. He was a lieutenant. I think I was a sergeant or a first airman first class. He came to me and said, come here, boy, I got something to tell you. I said, excuse me? I said, sir, my name ain't boy. My name's on my uniform. And me and him got into it. It was the year Martin Luther King got killed. I went in 68. I wouldn't take no stuff from nobody. So I just, you know, I could have got burned because I was up in his face. You ain't calling me boy. Way back in 68, way back when. So there have been episodes where God had to overshadow me so that I wouldn't lose it. Are y'all understand what I'm saying? I don't like tough guys because I grew up in South Philly. I know a tough guy when I see him. And people that's trying to be tough, they ain't tough. Trust me. So the fact of the matter is, I have struggled in this saved life. And even went to counselors and psychiatrists, and one guy said, you know, your life has got a flow to it, and you seem happy until you got saved. I said, I agree. I said, it wasn't until I got saved all this stuff started breaking out, you know. Don't do this, don't touch this, don't taste this, you know. So, a ball of confusion. But let me tell you how God humbled me. He took my hurt and anger. He took my history. He took all the stuff that I couldn't reconcile. And he used it to preach a sermon. It's called disclosure. It's called disclosure. So, chapter 10 of Acts deals with disclosure. And before we jump in, let me tell you what the secret is to our peace. Not us loving the Lord, but us knowing the love of the Lord in us. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. The love of Christ that makes us want to do the right thing. It's the love of Christ that makes us want to change. The more we have of the love of Christ in us, and we get that from the Word, Jesus loves us. The more we have of the love of Christ in us, it starts transforming our minds, our souls, our hearts, our wills. Because we can be very controlling, we can be very angry, we can be very critical, we can be very partial, you know, and I hate partiality. What's good for the goose, good for the gander. And that's part of my struggle with justice. That's part of my struggle with the law. That's part of my struggle with people. That they got their favorites, that they give them all these, and then others, they just omit them. And the Bible is against partiality. You don't see it, God sees it. If two men came in, one dressed good, one dressed bad, one stinking, one not stinking, one got money, the other got money, God expects you to treat them both the same way. Isn't that right? You say, well, that's hard. Well, that's because we have built these little walls of partiality, and typically the ones we partial to, they make us look better. I'll get in there some other time. People of influence, they make us look better. So let's look at this thing of disclosure. One of the extraordinary exposures of the indwelling Holy Spirit is God's disclosure to and of ourselves. God uses circumstances, conflicts, and even our own confusion to counsel us to ourselves. So Acts chapter 10 is an all-time classic as light is placed upon our liabilities. This light of the Lord exposes the following. Now, let me set the tone here, because Peter is always mentioned first in the list of disciples. He was the head disciple, Peter. Who do men say that I am in Caesarea Philippi? It was Peter that said, thou art the Christ. Peter, heaven and, he said, earth didn't reveal this, but my Father revealed this to you. Peter was always head disciple. When Jesus died, Peter and John ran to the grave. John was younger. He outran Peter, but John was scared to go in. Peter went in, into the grave. Peter was impulsive. Peter was prideful. Peter was prejudiced. Peter had a lot of hang-ups. Peter carried a switchblade. He cut off Malchus' ear in the garden. Jesus had to pick it up and put it back into place. Peter cussed. When they came to Jesus, when they came to Peter, said, aren't you one of them? And he started cussing. I don't know him. I'm talking about Jesus. He denied him. And the cock crowed. And Peter had a lot of hang-ups. And one of Peter's hang-ups was he was so Jewish that he was prejudiced against Gentiles. When we look at the life and legacy of Peter, God knew that because the law was ended when Jesus resurrected, there was no more room for the practices or the practicing of law. The Levitical dietary chapter of Leviticus 11. No more room for that. No more room for rules and regulations. No more rooms for the days. Passover, Pentecost. Jesus, our Passover. Jesus, our Pentecost. Jesus, our rapture. Jesus. Everything ended with Jesus. Anybody that's continuously duplicating law, God can't use now, because now we're in grace. Acts 2 is the age of grace. I'm just giving you some historical information. So God had to create, if you will, circumstances so that he could deal with Peter's problem. Now here's the bridge. God has already identified what's in you. God has already identified what you keep doing that you're not even aware of. So he makes appointments for us so that he can confront and disclose to us what's wrong. Now, some of us are so busy looking at everybody else, they don't even think they got a problem. I had to tell the counselor, not Brother Leroy, before he got here. I had to tell all the counselors, I met with all the counselors at St. Matthew's. And typically, people that get into counseling, they get into counseling because they've had personal problems. That's why they got into counseling. They found out that they was crazy. So they start studying counseling. So I told the counselors, all y'all been on my couch. So y'all need to listen to me. They're good people though. They just come and that's the gift of wisdom. God uses that. In other words, God used something in their lives that devastated them, and he called them out, gifted them with wisdom to help others. Are y'all understanding what Pastor's saying? And the fact of the matter is that Peter had some major stuff with him. So God begins this disclosure. And the first thing is, God, there is a call to our circumstances. Now, let's stop, pause, and park. There was a certain man in Caesarea, chapter 10, verse 1, called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So he's a Gentile. He knows nothing about Jewish customs. A devout man and one that feared God with all his house. He gave a lot of money, alms to the people, and prayed to God always. Verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour, that's 3 o'clock in the afternoon, of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, verse 4, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa. Joppa, let's stop. Historically, demographically, Joppa is the same place that Jonah had ran from. I ain't fooling with that. Interesting, about 40-something miles outside of Jerusalem, he said, and he deals with this thing called Joppa, and he called for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. In other words, you've been approved. You're a good man. Now go find Peter. The surgery is not for Cornelius. The surgery is for Peter. Sometimes God will send people into your life so that he can use them in your surgery. I got people at St. Matthew's that have helped me tremendously. They didn't do a lot of counseling and talking. It was just the peace, their presence, their tone, their trustworthiness. There are people here. God needs to do surgery on us. And the ones that don't think they need surgery are crazier than everybody else. Now, I'm using that word. Counselors ain't supposed to use that word. They just, you know, I watch people that don't take on this. They're dangerous. You've got to come to some point in your life where you say, you know what? I need help. This is me. When I never hear that from you, you are so deep buried. It's a tragedy. Then you got to ask yourself, why can't they be transparent? Why can't they open up? Because there is a bondage in a bondage, through a bondage, that won't allow them to acknowledge that anything is wrong. I've been married 31 years. Yeah, you asked me about marriage. Oh, marriage is great. Yeah. But I had my issues. I'd be lying if I sat up here and tell you this. Oh, it's like eating grapes. No, it's not. I'm just being honest with you. And I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, you know, try not to put a negative spin on marriage. Well, it was negative. We're not supposed to lie. So what we got to do is we got to accept truth. We got to accept truth. And the grass is not green on the other side. Because you go out and get married all over again, don't even try it. Just another problem you didn't look for. It's coming. Because we all are sinful creatures, aren't we? So I might fuss, but I don't do domestic violence. Or someone may not do domestic violence, but they don't pay no bills. Or somebody's out in the street with somebody else. I mean, you can pick your poison. Am I right? Each thing I mentioned, there is a driving force that's unseen that's driving that stuff. And you are not that great or good looking or spiritual that you can straighten somebody else out. God makes appointments to get involved out of love. I love you with an everlasting love. I love you when you don't even love yourself. And I'm going to fix you because you're saved. Are y'all getting this? Y'all ain't got to say amen. I'm back. God bless you. He says, look for 1 Peter, verse 5, and he lodges with one Simon, a tanner. Now, the word tanner means he's unclean. He's another Gentile that's unclean. Peter's problem is he's prejudiced against anything that's unclean. He's a Jew. But God can't use Peter unless he straightens out the situation with what's clean and what's unclean. Are y'all getting this? Whose house is by the seaside, verse 6, hanging it with me, he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on them continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Now, Cornelius didn't go, he sent in these servants to Joppa. And on the morrow, verse 9, as they went their journey, they drew near to the city. Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. My God. Peter's up. Peter's ready to pray. He's ready to talk to the Lord. Let me say this about a call into our circumstances. God sovereignly chooses what circumstances he's going to get involved in. Could be the kids, could be the marriage, could be anything. And God is just sovereign. He's sovereign. And sometimes it's hard for us to accept the sovereignty of God. Sometimes it's hard for us to accept it. Wednesday night, 2 weeks ago, when we got that big snowfall, we canceled CORE. I was at home. I had this dry cough all night. Couldn't sleep. Taking NyQuil and everything else. Couldn't sleep. The next morning, I went to my primary was closed. I went to one of these emergency care places, and the doctor examined me, took x-rays and everything. He said, listen, you choose what hospital, but you need to go directly to the emergency room. I said, now what? I didn't have this much trouble when I had unprotected sex. This is crazy. I'm sick of this. Well, it is. And I get to the hospital, they do all these, I choose hospital, went up to Cooper, great. And the guy said, you got pneumonia. I said, pneumonia? He said, yeah, your oxygen level's down, both of your lungs. I said, huh? And I didn't have a cold or anything. I said, well, you know, I was. He said, well, at your age, all this stuff sets in. I said, well, he said, did you get a flu shot? I had a flu shot. Did you get this? I had that. Did you have a cold? I had that. Yeah, that. Well, you didn't get a flu. Well, you didn't get a pneumonia shot. I didn't even know they give them pneumonia shots out. Had shingles. I said, I'm tired of all this. So I went on and did what the doctor told me to do. And things start coming back to normal. They gave me IV and knocked it out. I said, what's next, God? And so my rationale is, Lord, I'm living for you. The least you can do is protect me. And I never get an answer back from God when I think like that. So, my God, look at Pastor. Disclosure. As I stayed overnight in the hospital, the Lord began speaking to me alone. Disclosure. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. My God. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. If I've missed any other shots, please tell me after chorus so I can go get it. please just do that for me. And anyway, so God gets in our circumstances with this matter of disclosure. And real quick, and so Peter sees a contemptuous sight. Are y'all with me? Uh-huh. And so Peter went up, verse 9, on a housetop and prayed about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and when he would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, verse 11, and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, and it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth. Now this is when God was dealing with dreams, okay guys? So try not to get into your dreams all the time. Wherein, he speaks through his word, were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowl of the air, meaning these things were unclean to a Jew. Are y'all getting this? And there came a voice to Peter, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And there, but Peter said, no, Lord. Now let's stop. No, Lord, I'm not doing it. My Jewishness is more important than your word. Oh, won't God show us stuff? Won't God show us stuff? Oh, God. No, Lord. I want you to see that. He's talking to the Lord. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Here is the disclosure from God to him. We got a problem, Houston. God's telling you to do something, and you're telling the Lord, no, I'm not doing it. I know you're struggling in your marriage. Stay in there. No, Lord, I ain't doing it. How many of us can be honest and say there have been times in our saved life that we have inwardly, intuitively said no to God? Can you raise your hand higher so I can take a consensus? Oh, that's better. That's best. That's most of the church. God is going to challenge to do some things that we don't feel comfortable doing. Hello, wake up, smell a coffee. See, and I feel sorry for y'all that got this outward religious stuff that you have built up, because that's a farce. And people see through it anyway. When the internal don't match the external, it's hypocrisy. When you are incapable of putting the finger on you first, you got major spiritual problems. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I went to Moody Bible Institute, took several guys with us. It was 1,000 pastors in the auditorium, and the president of Moody in Chicago said, guys, listen to this, it's safe here, now you may cry. 1,000 pastors start crying. I teared up. I couldn't believe it. that these men were carrying all this hurt and pain with them to Chicago. And the statistics are, pastors resign from the pastorate every week. When you're trying to pour yourself into others and you know something needs to be poured into you, that's major. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you sit back like you got it all together, you know it all, just ask me, I'm here. You are a fake and a phony. And everybody's going to see through it. Because God is going to allow something to break that exterior down. He's going to allow something to break it down. That is, we're talking about disclosure. We're talking about disclosure. This contemptuous sight is deep, and it hits him. It puts an arrow into his heart. And the voice, verse 15, spake unto him again. The what? Oh no, no, no! Come on, read the Bible. A what? Now he already said no, Lord. Now the voice comes back a second time, and God says, what God has cleansed, don't you dare call common. God is doing surgery on his prejudice against Gentiles. Are y'all getting me? Now this is only chapter 10, because by the time we get to chapter 15, they got a council at Jerusalem dealing with circumcision and all that. And Peter's fine then. Peter's seen the light. Question tonight, what is God saying to you about you? What has God got a problem with that we keep portraying? What is God saying to you about, what is God disclosing something to you that you don't necessarily agree with God on? Maybe you're the problem in a marriage, not the other person. But you can't accept that, because you have psyched yourself out for years. I got the problem, Lord, and it's not me. Or maybe you don't think you're the problem with the kids, but the kids do. Or maybe you don't think you're the problem with how you think and what you, and see, this is why we go deep in the scriptures, because until you and I can be honest with God and honest with ourselves, there is no peace. There is no peace. There's no peace. There's no peace. I'm laughing. So my dear sister, she calls me the other day. She said, are you okay? Because I don't tell her nothing. It'll be all over Philly. I don't tell her nothing. I said, no. She said, you okay? I said, I'm fine, babe. I'm fine. Thank you. She said, well, I love you. I love you too. She said, well, I had a dream. Here we go. Mommy came to me and said, you better check up on Raymond. And mommy keeps coming to me. What is going on? I said, nothing. I had a touch in the morning. Oh, I had that too. I don't need this. Now you got my mother coming out of heaven in the dreams and visions, and I don't need this. I got enough going on. So the fact is, God bless her. Don't you have people in your family like that too? Contemptuous sight. Don't call what I call clean common, and then God starts to correct Peter. Now look at verse 16. Are y'all with me? This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. And while Peter doubted in himself what this vision Verse 17, which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which sent from Cornelius showed up and called and asked for Simon, whose surname was Peter, who lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, let them in, for I have sent them. Verse 21, then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one that fears God and has a good report, the angel came to him to send us to your house. And then called he them in and lodged them in. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. Now, this is a long chapter, so I'm not going to belabor the point. The bottom line is, Peter goes with them and acknowledges what God had said to him. Verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, not Jew or Gentile, but in every nation, he that feareth him and work of righteousness is accepted with him. So the story goes on that Peter is turned around. There is a clear change in him when you read the rest of the chapter, that he has come to the place where he accepts Gentiles as he accepts Jews. He's not putting on a Gentile anything that the Jewish people would put on Gentiles. See, a proselyte was one who studied Jewishness. Samaria were half-breeds. Peter had a problem with prejudice. Peter had a problem with seeing things outside of this Jewishness, and it was creating problems in the church. In fact, in Galatians chapter 2, don't turn, Paul confronts Peter. Paul says, you are the problem. When you're with the Jews, you're kosher. When you're with the Gentiles, you're eating ribs. You got everybody confused. And that's just the way some of us are. Disclosure. Now, for the next 10 minutes, I've laid out a deep story, narrative about God disclosing to Peter what Peter refused to see. Let's just talk about things we refuse to see that disclosure has taught us. Can we do that? Huh? Can we do that? Can we talk about, look, the secret things belong to the Lord. The revealed things belong to us. What could God be saying to you tonight about disclosure? Let's try to therapeutically get some hands up. What could God be saying to us tonight about this deep disclosure, and we don't agree with God? Anybody? Come on now. If it makes you feel better, everybody thinks you're a devil anyway, so just go on and raise your hand and get it out, and let's try to. Yes, up front. Who is it? Oh, Sister Arnold. Pure Jew. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Before I came to this church, I would never let any of my students know that I was a sinner, that I did things wrong, anything about that. I thought I had to be real good in front of them and never disclose myself. But since coming to this church and seeing how Pastor does it and how you guys have been so free like that, it has become a part of my teaching that I let people know when I fail and that I fail, and it's It was hard at first to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that God has used it immensely.
That is so powerful. And let's give the Lord a hand clap for her. That's so powerful. So powerful. Let me tell you why this is so important. Transparency is connected with truth. And transparency gives God the glory. And yet, it allows people to trust you. Are y'all getting what I'm saying? It allows people to trust you. Now, some people just want to talk to get attention. We ain't talking about that. I'm talking about, and I've been doing this for 31 years. I got in that pulpit the first Sunday, and I preached. I was engaged. I preached, and I talked about the problems that I had in life. People were looking at me like, we ain't never heard no pastor confess that I... But what it did, it made people open up and say, you know what? I'm part of that. Are you understand what I'm saying? I had people in the congregation that were still angry with their mothers and fathers who had been dead 40 years. Can you see what I'm trying to say? They just couldn't acknowledge it. That's powerful. Thank you for that. And you don't got to tell all your business, but you got to be true to God and true to yourself. Or else God is going to arrange an appointment where disclosure is going to take place. Not before the whole world. Peter was on the roof by himself. God got through, didn't he? So what are some of the areas that we may need disclosure in? Leroy, you are chief counsel. You got any? If not, just keep folding your arms. We'll be back over there. what are some of the areas we need disclosure in? Yes, in the back. Reverend Jacobs. Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you. Satan is very strategic, and he's more intelligent than you and I. He's full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. What Satan does, he influences others. Listen to me. I was never so devastated when God disclosed to me, I'm like this, well, you get up every morning, you're trying to hold on. You're trying to hold on to a level of faithfulness. And that wasn't true freedom. It was me trying to hold on. And I was in my car, and Satan came. And here's what he said. Are you really happy? When I heard that question, I already knew where Brother Man was going. Let me tell you where he was going. He wanted me to compare my saved life to my former life. And what I thought made me happy in the world wasn't making me happy in Christ. So now I got major problems here. Are you happy? And happy has got to be defined. God promises us joy, isn't that right? So all we got to do is let Satan meet us on a level where we are now comparing sin with sanctification. And we got problems. So the problem is these disclosures help us to grow. They help us to know. They help us to glow. These disclosures come, and they come one-on-one, you and God. Not in a Bible study, not in a sermon, is you and God. He wants to disclose something to you and to me that we are incapable of pulling up and delineating according to his will. It could be a long, dark, deep secret. It could be a hurt, could be exposure, an experience, could be something that we just don't want to talk about it. But listen, whatever we hide is going to resurrect. Whatever we bury is going to resurrect. That is, there's things coming out of us that, you know, I like to believe I'm a warm, affectionate person, you know. I'm an extrovert. You know, I'm life of the party. I'm going to have a good time. I get and I had to learn that even in that, there was stuff that was hidden. And we got to start praying about the hidden things which belong to the Lord. How am I seen trapped in this cell where I am not listening to the disclosure of God? I'm struggling with disclosure. I need to know who he is. Paul said that I may know him. And I need to know that he knows me. Are you understanding that? Because when I read this New Testament, it says it's the love of God that constrains us. It's the love of God that gives us peace. It's the love of God in us that releases us. Not our love for God, but God's love for us. So as we grow in grace, grow in the word, I got to keep filling the voids with the love of God. Jesus loves me, one of my favorite from being a child. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And Paul's prayer was that you may know the love of God beyond anything else, just how much he loves us. So this thing on disclosure is not as easy as it seems. People, well, sit down and talk to me. Tell me about your life. No, it's not that easy. We got locked walls that we can't seem to deal with it. So God says, okay, I'm going to make an appointment circumstantially to bring about this disclosure. Are y'all getting this? I know. Yes. Got a hand up? Yes, sir. Thank you, man.
It's not like it used to be, but it still comes. People, places, things, just put it in the category of where you've been, the abundance of all that junk. Sometimes it pops up clear and tempting.
Yep.
And I would like to, you know, believe in my heart, no, that doesn't happen to me.
One of the things I want to vouch about our teachers here at St. Matthew's, all of them are transparent and all of them are honest, and I love them for that. Just be honest. Don't give people the impression that you've overcome something you haven't overcome. If you're hurting, you're hurting. Just be honest. If you're struggling, you're struggling. Just be honest. It's the ones that keep hiding that don't overcome these areas. So if God said, I got to go down and talk to Peter, and three times Peter didn't want to hear it. And this is the Lord talking. This is Jesus coming in my bedroom saying, I want to talk to you. And I said, no, you don't. Three times. I ain't got no problem. Disclosure. The people that are able to disclose themselves are people that God will give treasures to reach others. Paul said, I'm chief sinner. Paul said, if I could, I would rather go to hell and let all Israel be saved. Didn't he say that? Yes, Sister G. You are Sister G, right? I can't see that far. All right, stand up. God bless you. Go ahead. Can you come to the mic? Can somebody take a mic to her, please? I heard broke my heart. I was waiting to hear Raymond, but let's you know, in the name of Jesus, that's right. Get on the mic. Praise the Lord. Can you move a little faster, please? I know. Go ahead.
Look, whether it's my professional image, and then he disclosed to me how broken I was, that even my spiritual image had become my idol. And that broke my heart, because I love the Lord, and I was trying to live a life that pleased him. And it wasn't until he allowed me to, he humbled me through humiliation, that he confronted me. And I had, you know, it broke my heart that I had broken his heart and held on to this image, where at first it was my professional image, and then because I was broken, a broken person, I held on, and my image had become my idol.
That's excellent. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. That's excellent. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. And I really appreciate that to the utmost. That's awesome. Are we trying to keep an image that God ain't into? Are we trying to project something that's a perfect message to others, amen, that God wants to break down? That, and let me say this, and I'm going to dovetail that and we're going to close. We all have our challenges, don't we? We all have our challenges. Every last one of us, we have challenges. And God is going to set an appointment where he brings disclosure about truth that we may not want to hear, like Peter, 3 times. I don't want to hear this. Okay, because it hurts. It hurts. It's a pain we got to get beyond. Okay? And so the love of Christ in us, and this is the first of many disclosures in the Bible. Nathan disclosed to David that he was the one. Remember that? Samuel disclosed to Saul that he was the one. All the disclosures coming in is not something that's going to be favorable or we want to hear. But I believe if we stay in this word, if we depend on the Holy Spirit and faith in Christ, God is going to renew us. He's going to restore us. He's going to help us. Do I have a witness? He's going to help us. And listen, from the pulpit to the door, all of us have sinned and fallen short of glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Let's look at God as we leave tonight. Let's look at God like I'm bottom up, not top down. Lord, I'm messed up and I need you to rebuild me, remold me, remake me to the person you want me to be. Let's stay on our feet tonight. Praise Jesus. There's somebody here that needs to be saved. I want you to raise your hand, give your life to Jesus. He died for your sins, was buried. You want to join the church? Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we look at Acts chapter 10 and how you went to Peter 3 times in which he was not willing to be disclosed. You gave him the message you wanted him to have so that you could use him in a greater sense to the Gentiles. Oh God, break our hearts and shatter these images that we continually lift up to impress others. Disclose yourself to us, and thank you for the disclosures. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor loves you. See you Sunday. Thank you.